Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Greetings, programs, and welcome to our Halloween special with Mr. Joey Image. You're going to notice there's going to be something weird with the show this week because we were recording on Wednesday night and Hurricane Zeta was barreling down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We thought we could get the show finished before it hit, but unfortunately power went out and I lost the audio for the episode, but I did go on to the Twitch video and I pulled the audio from it. So if the sound of this episode is a little bit different than our other episodes, I do apologize about that. But we came back 3 days later and we finished out the episode. So there's going to be a weird cut at about the 40-minute mark. But we hope you guys have a great, great, happy Halloween, and we will see you guys next week. And now on with our Halloween episode about Halloween 18. Do you like the show and you want to help support us? Do you want us to stay ad-free? Do you want extra episodes every month? Of course you do. Then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Become a Patreon supporter of this very show. It is our annual Halloween show here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. My name is Jay Spooktacular.
I don't have a clever horror nickname, so I'm just Derek Diamond.
And we have, as our new yearly annual tradition, we have back one of our favorite guests here on the show, Mr. Joey Image.
Evening. I like that it's yearly and annual.
Yeah.
A yearly annual tradition.
Yearly annual tradition.
It's so great we have to use both contexts.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that, man.
So what we did was...
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course, man. We couldn't do this without you because last year, we know how big of a Halloween fan you are. I mean, you've got tattoos on your body of the Halloween series of movies. And last year, what we did was, for this podcast here, if you want to go back and listen to it, last October, we did the original 1978 Halloween, and then we did one and two in one podcast. We talked about one and two, and then we went over to the Derek Diamond Experience and followed that up with Halloween 3, which I still love that movie, and I don't get Joey's hate of it.
I texted you last week and it was like, dude, I can't understand still how that is your favorite one of the series. Like I said, if it was just called Season of the Witch and didn't have Halloween 3 attached to it, it would be good.
Well, here's the thing. I don't look at it as a Halloween movie. It is a whole separate style of movie than what the Halloween series is. So if you're looking at just the Halloween, the Michael Myers story, then of course my favorite is the first one, of course. But I look at Halloween 3 as a totally separate entity. Like, I don't know why I guess because I saw it first when I was a kid, I can separate it from the rest of the Halloween series.
Yeah, so in your mind, that started the series, and then the rest makes sense because they're all actually in order without that little weird break in the middle that was 3.
Yeah, I guess that you could say that.
I would like to get a Silver Shamrock t-shirt, though. That would be kind of cool. I don't know if they make those, but that would be awesome. Great. I just got an email today. I don't know if you guys know who Fright Rags is, but they make all old school horror, t-shirts and a whole bunch of different merch. They have a really cool hat with the giant H2O logo on the front of it. But they just came out with a bunch of shirts for the 2018 movie that we're going to talk about. And they look so good. They're so cool.
I work at a t-shirt shop, and I was thinking today, I was like, man, what if I could just get, you know, some vector art of the three masks from Halloween 3
and just
make my own t-shirt of it. I was like, man, that would be awesome. And I would send them to you guys. I wouldn't charge anything. You know, I would just send them to you. So if I can get that done, I'll send them to you.
I got to show you, I'll tweet you a picture when I get a chance, but I just pre-ordered a lunchbox and thermos set from the original movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
It doesn't come out until like March or something like that, but yeah. I pre-ordered it a couple of weeks ago. It's like it, like when I was in school, man. It's a lunchbox and it's a thermos and it's brand new. It's got picture. It's either from the first movie or it's got like a collage of stuff from each, from all the movies.
Yeah.
But it's really cool looking.
Dude, I almost bought an Evil Dead 2 lunchbox not too long ago. I wish I would have bought it. I love lunchboxes. The only lunchboxes I still have are my Masters of the Universe lunchbox that I had when I was in first grade. And yeah. I have a Star Wars lunchbox that my ex-mother-in-law bought me, like back when me and
those
my
those are two good ones
wife,
to have, man.
Yeah.
First got married, but I swear to you, and I don't know if it's psychosomatic or what, but when I open up the Masters of the Universe one, I can still smell peanut butter and jelly and Doritos. Yes, Wally, I know there's a hurricane. That's why we're doing it early tonight.
Oh, I can't see the chat room. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, we got Axeblade in there. Axeblade says he's got that damn song stuck in his head again from Season of the Witch. Yeah, that's one of the downsides of the movie. Yeah, but
Silver Shamrock.
Three more days to Halloween. Halloween.
There it is.
Wait, it's hilarious because when we did those shows last year, Jason, you told me to watch Halloween 3 first. Mm-hmm. So I did, and I think that helps with the whole like perception of the movie, because I do too look at it as a whole separate thing and not part of the series.
By this time next year, we'll be able to discuss Halloween Kills. So what I want to do is I'm going to buy the three different Silver Shamrock masks, and I'm going to send one to each of you guys. So the way that we look on Discord right now, we'll be able to each have one of the masks on, and
I love that idea.
I'm so bummed that they pushed that movie back.
I know, man.
You know, I mean, I get it, but everyone else is doing their big releases streaming now or through iTunes or Amazon Prime. Just do one of those, please.
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously it won't be the same, but you know, I'd rather sit in my living room now and watch it than have to wait another year for something that's already done and was ready to come out this month.
Stupid coronavirus. Just go away already. But speaking of Halloween Kills, we are here to talk about Halloween, the 2018 film, which I call it Halloween 18, because that's just the easiest way to remember which one it is. It is a 2018 American horror slasher film directed by David Gordon Green, written by Green, Jeff Fradley, and of course, Danny McBride, of all people. Is the 11th installment in the Halloween film series and a direct sequel to the 1978 film of the same name, while affecting a retcon of all previous sequels. It stars Jamie Lee Curtis and Nick Castle, who reprise their respective roles as Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, with stuntman James Jude Courtney also portraying Myers. It also stars Judy Greer, Andy Matichak, Will Patton, and Virginia Gardner. What did you think about the kind of the retconning of everything that happened from 2 forward? Because as we discussed last year, I don't mind Halloween 2. I think it's a good movie, but I just felt a lot of the stuff in it, like the whole Laurie Strode being Michael Myers' sister, was a little forced. So, and they actually, in this movie,
I love that line.
You know, addressed that as, what did he say in the movie? I didn't think to capture it.
She was talking about, well, first of all, I didn't realize this was a sequel to 1. I thought this was I've always thought this was a sequel to 2.
Yeah.
Because at the end of 1, Loomis is alive. And then in this one, they just say, oh, I took over his case after Loomis died. Mm-hmm. So if 2 doesn't exist, then that's kind of not explained.
Yeah.
Although I guess it wasn't really explained that well in 2 either. But I don't know. They were walking down the street, and the dude said, "Wasn't that like your mom's brother or something like that? Like your uncle? Oh no, your grandmother's brother that killed all those people." And she goes, "No, that was just a rumor that someone made up for." I forget. She said a reason too.
Yeah, she said
but,
something.
I always love that line.
She said something like something people made up to just make themselves feel better or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Right, right.
I love little nuggets like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There were a lot of them in this.
Yeah, I should have captured that little exchange right there. I did think it was really cool. How do you think they did the Dr. Loomis stuff?
I took brief notes. I forgot all about that. Okay. Sorry.
But we start out the movie with two podcasters, investigative journalists who are trying to make a podcast about the original Halloween murders that happened on Halloween night, 1978. So the movie,
you know, what's interesting is later on, they referred to it as the Babysitter Murders.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was the working title of the movie before they changed the name to Halloween.
Oh yeah.
I never knew that. I didn't know that.
Did you guys ever go, I think I told you about it last year. Did you go and listen to that Halloween podcast that went through the whole history?
The one that was like eight parts or whatever?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I did. That's following awesome. Week.
Yes.
It was so good every day. Mm-hmm. And you know what I liked is they were like 32 or 34 minute episodes or whatever, so I could do it on my way from work. So it took me like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to finish. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
That was great.
If you could look that up, I don't remember the exact name of it.
I don't either, but I'll find it.
I might still have it saved.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I probably still have it saved. It doesn't say the same thing.
But this movie starts out with the two podcasters, of course. They're trying to piece together what happened that night 40 years ago. And so they start out the movie at the state mental hospital. And they go speak with or try to speak with Michael Myers. Of course, Michael Myers has a new doctor who is taking care of him. And you hear the notes. That the audio notes that Dr. Loomis had after the events.
Where did that come from? Like, was that? Did they just happen to have like? Was it recorded audio that? I forgot. Was it Donald Pleasance?
Yeah, that's
did
what I was going to ask.
Did they just have like audio that he did? They just never used that fit here, or
I didn't
did
know.
He sound alike?
I didn't know if you knew or not. That's what I was going to ask you. If they actually,
actually talking to Angela about that last night, and she's like, "Oh, maybe they had someone that just sounded like him."
Yeah, it might just be a sound alike because it sounds.
But man, that's a spot on impression. Yeah.
But he's talking about basically Michael Myers is pure evil, doesn't deserve to live. He needs to be killed. He needs to be executed by the state, and then the body immediately. Cremated. And it kind of sets up the whole Michael Myers is pure evil, like that
in
the first movie.
You know what just clicked in my head just now is when it makes sense to me now that it's a sequel to one and not two, because he was technically cremated at the end of two. So
exactly.
And I was just thinking at the end of this same thing, so it would make a lot of sense that two technically didn't happen. Okay, okay, sorry. That light bulb just went off for me now when you said that. Now I'm like, oh, what an idiot I am. Like, I watched this whole thing multiple times.
It left a lot of questions.
I just got it.
It left a lot of questions with me about, like, why would... I mean, I know they wanted to study him, but why would the state leave him alive like that? Like, why?
Yeah. You think they would learn...
And that's the whole, like, in it sort of set up when, in this scene right here, let me hear.
There he is. He can't speak. He just chooses not to.
Chooses not to.
I'd love to stand closer to him, if I may. Get a sense of his awareness or lack of awareness.
Oh, make no mistake, he's aware. He was watching you as you arrived.
So he walks in, it's very creepy, this open kind of, courtyard area of the mental asylum. And the next scene I captured a clip from is where the guy pulls out the Michael Myers mask and, holds it up to him. And he's just like, say something, and you feel it. And sort of like, as soon as that happens, everybody starts to go crazy around him, and it makes me wonder, like, is there just some sort of aura around Michael Myers. Is he have just so much evil permeates from him that he affects people around him, and that's kind of why the doctor, you know, kind of went crazy and basically set this whole movie in motion, because we come to find out towards the end of the movie, and spoilers, everybody, if you haven't seen it, I mean, the movie's 2 years old, so get over it. the doctor basically sets
I know
this
what you're
whole,
gonna say, and I don't understand this part.
Yeah, the doctor basically lets him out. Like, the doctor causes the bus crash. We, you know, come to find out later in the movie, he escapes just because the doctor wants to see him in basically in the wild, like to see what happens. And yeah. Does it sort of set up, does it feel like they were trying to set up that Michael is sort of a supernatural character, like he just has so much evil permeating from him that he just affects everyone around him?
You know, the first time I saw this, I thought it was going to turn out that Michael was actually the doctor and the other guy was just some plant as like some wacko he found on another floor in the insane asylum, and like, I'll just use this guy and just call him Mike, whatever. And then it's actually him. He's like, oh, I talk now and I kill people and I have a mustache and I'm fat and, you know, somehow I got a medical degree or something. I don't know. But I thought that would have been insanely wacky. But first of all, what's the doctor's name? Because he says it with that accent like 20 times and I don't remember any of it. I watch it with closed captioning on and I still don't remember it.
Yeah, let me look up that. I don't remember exactly the doctor's name. Yeah,
I'm on it.
It was so, he says it, like, right in the beginning, he's like, hey, I'm Dr. Joe Smith, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Really fast. And he's got that heavy accent, and I don't understand a word of what I don't understand most of what he said. But I watched a little bit of it with closed captioning on, just so I could figure out dialogue.
Is it Dr. Sartain?
Yeah,
yes,
that's
what it is. Okay. Dr. Sartain.
Yeah.
So basically, he takes over after Dr. Loomis passes away.
I like the line where Laurie Strode says, oh, you're the new Loomis, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was such a good line. Because that's what everyone's thinking that they're watching the movie. As soon as the guy shows up and says, oh, I took over, every viewer is like, oh, that's going to be the new Dr. Loomis in this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 90 or 40 minutes later, she goes, oh, you're the new Loomis, huh? Oh, that's great.
She said what we were all thinking.
Yeah, yeah. It was very almost like an inside baseball line. But, yeah. You know, if you've watched the series, if you're a regular, you know about it already. Or you're thinking the same thing.
And I love the Dr. Loomis character. He added so much gravitas to the first couple of movies that, you know, he stayed on till what, like the fifth one or
something,
sixth,
like that.
I think. But man, that first movie, you know, I still got a lot of clips from that first movie where he's just talking about those eyes, the black eyes, you know, and all that stuff. And he just made that movie so much, you know, more he creepy. Brought so much weight to it with that character.
And that accent and like his like deep, like gravelly voice, you know, like there's nothing behind those eyes but pure evil.
Yeah.
Everything he said was so creepy when he said it like that. It was it added a lot to that movie.
Yeah.
Well, he was there to try and make sense of what was going on and to explain it to the audience.
Right.
And I have the clip from where the guy pulls the mask out.
You feel it, don't you, Michael? You feel the mask.
Think alone. Think alone.
Say something, Michael. Say something. You can feel it, can't you?
And so that, you know, everybody starts going crazy. Dogs start barking. So
why was there dogs in a mental home?
I don't know. Maybe
that's what I was thinking too.
Dogs here, or is it like a companion? I don't know what they call it. There's a name for it, like a companion, emotional companion, or something like that.
Or
maybe
they were for security
for some of the patients,
security reasons, maybe. And another thing. Maybe.
But even they were affected by the mask, though. Like, is there a little, like, a doggy Myers running around with a mask on? They're all traumatized by seeing it?
Well, that's what I was
wondering.
Now,
that's a movie I would watch.
Actually, now that I think about it.
Like, what is the magical power of the mask?
Doggy Myers.
Is it the mask itself, or is it Michael Myers? Like, is the mask possessed?
Part of me thinks that maybe they didn't know who he was, the other patients, but they see the mask and they're like, holy shit, that's that guy.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh my God, like Figaro, the dude singing Figaro, whatever. They're all like, holy crap, that's that dude. And there's a giant, and Jay's big black cat shows up.
Yeah.
We're not spooked enough. It's Halloween almost. And
kitty.
There's a black cat right there.
He wants better to be part of the
cross
show.
Your path.
Yeah, I was about to say, better not cross your path. No, yeah. I agree with what Joey was saying. It was almost like the symbolism of the mask. And you got to, if that's the case, you got to imagine one of those patients, they see the mask and you're like, holy crap, we've been locked with this guy for 40
right.
years?
Yeah,
yeah. That's oh my God. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Yeah, maybe they didn't realize who he was or whatever, but then obviously everyone's heard about it. I'm sure they have televisions in the institution or whatever, and then people see the mask, and they're like, oh, shit, that's that. I mean, oh, crap, that's that guy that we saw. I don't remember if we could swear in the show. I forget.
And, you know, nobody questions it when, like, why? Whose idea was it to transfer Michael Myers out of the facility to another facility?
You think they would learn?
On October 30th, 40 years to the day that these murders happened. Like, who? What?
It was the doctor.
What?
I mean, I know, but nobody said, guys, maybe we should wait a week.
November 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
November 1st at midnight, you can transfer him.
Yeah,
and think about that from Laurie Strode's, you know, from her perspective. It's just like, really, they're going to transfer this dude out on a bus? Like, anything can happen on the 40th anniversary of these murders. And that's the, you know what this movie really made me think about is this is sort of like Michael Myers is the Terminator, basically. And, you know, the doctor even says it in the movie, like all he knows how to do is be on the move and kill. That's all he knows how to do. That's a Terminator. Like it, and his only mission is to kill Laurie Strode, because it's established in the movie that basically they're two sides of the same coin. He's afraid of her. She's afraid of him. And all they want to do, the only thing that keeps both of them alive, is that they want to stay alive long enough to kill one another.
Yeah.
And so basically he's like a Terminator from the original 1984 Terminator. And she is Linda Hamilton from Terminator 2.
Yeah.
So it's like the original Terminator.
A really good comparison.
Yeah, the original Terminator against, you know, Sarah Connor from the T2. And that's basically what this movie is.
No, I completely agree with that.
That's a really good comparison, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great comparison.
So I was thinking about it too. Like, I love the psychological implications that they talk about in this movie too. Like, the effect that it has on victims. Like, you know, because Laurie Strode was, I wouldn't say a weak character, but she was also like the damsel in distress from the first movie. And she was the last one alive, and she almost killed, you know. And the cool thing is that they did keep, you know, when she stabs him in the eye in the original movie with the sewing needle.
Coat hanger?
You know, one of the, the coat hanger, that's right.
Yeah, the sewing needle was the neck.
And he's got, like, the messed up eye. You know, you get glimpses of that.
One. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so he's afraid of her, but she also, you know, the doctor talks about victims and how they can either become weak or they can become strong. And Laurie Strode, obviously, you know, she's got a lot of problems in her life because of her strength, because she knows that one day, you know, he's coming after her and she's going to have to be ready. And that's why she's kind of the Sarah Connor of this movie, is because she knows that the day is going to come. And that's got to be fucked up when it's 40 years to the day and they're transferring this dude out. Like, this is,
you know, what I have something I noticed. I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but you mentioned the bus earlier, that the doctor made the bus crash or whatever. So when the bus crashed and they all escape, and you see that, like, it's almost like a flashback when Loomis and the nurse pull in and they're all walking around, they're all out of there. So you see that, and then the dude and his kid drive up to the pickup truck and are like, what the hell is going on? and they show almost this, I mean, it almost looked just like in the headlights.
Yeah.
All the patients walk around just like with Loomis and the nurse. Why does that kid look like he's 10 and that guy he keeps calling dad looks like he's 85? Because in my head, I was like, oh, this kid's driving with his grandfather. And then he says dad like three times. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, something's not consistent here.
Life just kicked him in the ass one day.
Well, his dad does look
ass,
like
in
a
the, in the face and the legs and the
well, just the entire body.
Yeah.
Well, his dad did look oh like a heavy, like he might have been a heavy drinker or something. You know, like drinking, drinking and smoking.
Yeah, maybe that's why he stopped and got out of the truck when he saw that because he was hammered.
He was drunk.
Started drinking and smoking at the age of 13.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped since.
But that kid did. I mean, that guy did not look like. I don't know. He just looked like he was in his 70s at least, and this kid looks like. He's like 9 or 10. Like, I want to go to dance class. And the guy's like, don't you want to go shoot guns and hunt? I'm like, I don't know if you can kind of say stuff like that in 20. Everyone's super sensitive now. Well, like, I don't know if you can say stuff like that in 2020.
That was me as a kid. I was, I didn't want to go shoot guns. I'm like, I want to go play Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Rampage is here. Welcome, Rampage. You know, we'll kind of go through. The one thing I did like was. Some of the parallels between this one and the original 1978, like when you see Laurie Strode's granddaughter at the back of the seat, the back of the classroom, where
that was the first notes I wrote down. She was in the same desk, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the same topic.
Yep. And she looks out and she sees Laurie Strode standing across the street, like Michael Myers was. So a lot of little nods. Awesome.
Yeah, I geeked out over that.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah, there was a lot of little nods like that to make you realize that, you know, that Laurie Strode basically has become the hunter as well. All those little nods like that. What are the notes you got there, Joey, that you wanted to discuss?
We already covered everything I said. The only thing that we haven't covered yet is I want the movable island with the hidden basement too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
That's the only thing that I wrote that we haven't already talked about. That's the coolest thing in the world. I mean, apparently that one wasn't very secure because, you know, Michael just kind of lifted it off the thing after 85 tries. But that's such a cool idea, like for a hidden bomb shelter thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't need that in New Jersey, but I don't know. It just looked cool.
Yeah, we don't have basements here in the South because they would just be soggy and gross.
But if we did... We would have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I captured this clip just because I think this kid's funny. I love this kid.
Oh, fuck me.
I saw someone in the hallway standing outside my door.
What's up, buddy?
It was a fucked up face watching me from the dark.
Ghosts and goblins, little buddy.
Shut up, Dave. I heard him breathing, and then I saw him. He's in here. Boogeyman's in this house.
Okay. All right. Come on. I got you. Let's check it out.
Send Dave first.
Like, send Dave first.
Oh yeah.
The best line that kid said was as the blonde chick was getting stabbed. He's like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
And just runs away.
Oh, I did have that. Let me play that.
Oh shit!
Yeah, that was a pretty intense scene there. that whole exchange through that whole thing, and then what was the guy's name that was Officer Hawkins, Will Patton?
Oh yeah.
He comes in and she, you know, she's covered with sheet. He sees her, and then of course Michael and Laurie Strode shows up because of the domestic disturbance. Laurie Strode shows up. She sees him in the one mirror or the one window. She looks over.
That was Nick Castle.
And she sees.
What I read was that was the only scene he was in because he did that head tilt perfectly.
Yeah.
So when she looks up and sees him in the window and he does the head tilt, that was Nick Castle. But the rest of it was June, whatever the other guy's name was.
Yeah. But she sees him up in the window. She shoots. Of course, it's the mirror. And then. Woo, the wind is really picking up outside right now. yes, I am going through Hurricane Catherine Zeta-Jones right now.
But, Hurricane Zeta Jones.
We were talking about the Doctor earlier and how he basically orchestrated this whole thing. And this is basically the lines that he, you know, he kind of confesses to everything.
I've worked with Michael for years, but I've never seen him in an uncontrolled environment. I've never heard him speak, you see. In spite of my encouragements, he remains unresponsive. But tonight, so many possibilities exist.
So basically, you just let him out to just see what would happen. That's screwed up, man.
That part I never picked up on until just now.
He does,
because like I said before, I didn't understand why he killed the cop or whatever, and then let him like free or live or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like I said earlier. Like, what if Michael Myers is, you know, they're trying to establish that he's kind of this supernatural character that just exudes this evil that just affects people around him, you know, and maybe he caused the Doctor to go crazy to help him get out of the hospital, you know, like we don't really know, but kind of makes you question it, like, you know, because if you're around someone, like if you're obsessed with Michael Myers, like the Doctor seems to be, I mean, of course he's an interesting case, like. Maybe it's sort of like the Harley Quinn sort of thing where, you know, she was around the Joker for too long and, you know, he caused her to turn evil, basically.
Became a victim of his own study.
Exactly. Whoa. Something just hit roof.
I heard that too.
I heard that.
Wow. Here, let me go.
Getting crazy in Biloxi.
Yeah, we're gonna have to hurry this up, guys. I just don't want the power to go out.
Yeah.
But here, I got this line here. This was my favorite line of the movie right here.
Mom!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh. I'm sorry, I can't do it!
Gotcha.
Shoots him in the face!
Yeah, I like
in
that
in the face!
Yeah, I like that she was... Because even when I first time I saw the movie, I was like, oh man, she's not gonna bitch out like that, man. And then, of course, she goes, gotcha, and shoots him in the face. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
That was with, she had the gun with her initials on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing. You know, they go into Laurie Strode's backstory, and, you know, she's had quite a few failed marriages and estranged from her daughter and all that kind of stuff because of how she is. But, I mean, it's all justified in the end. Because what she was afraid of finally came to pass. And I don't know. There's a lot of a lot of themes in this movie about revenge and, you know, just, I don't know, like a lot of psychological stuff about things that can just break you, but things you know that are going to happen. I mean, it's the same thing as Terminator 2 with Sarah Connor. You know, she knew it was coming, but nobody believed her. And it even sucks even worse because, you know, Cyberdyne covered up what happened with the original Terminator. So Sarah Connor could never really, like, nobody believed her. But Laurie Strode is like, this stuff really happened. People knew it happened, but nobody would believe her when she's like, this is going to happen again. Like, they all act like she's crazy. And no wonder she's living in a compound out in the woods. People suck.
That should be the subtitle of the movie, Halloween 2018. People suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good presidential campaign slogan.
Yeah.
I got Fantastic 2020. People suck.
Yes. I got this last clip here I want to play. It's real short. But this basically sums up the whole, the reason that she made her house the way she did.
Okay. It's not a cage, baby. It's a trap.
So basically, you know, like her daughter kept saying that, you know, that basement was Laurie Strode's cage because she spent so much time preparing for this day, and it was never a cage. It was a trap for Michael Myers. And, right.
You know, there was one other callback earlier in the movie, callback to the original that I loved when he kills the old woman making the sandwich. And she's wearing like a red robe.
Yeah.
Exactly like the first movie when she was making the ham sandwich and she was wearing a robe and he took the knife. That was such a cool, like a little Easter egg kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like we said before, there was a ton of them, but that was one of my favorites.
And I love the part when he knocks Laurie Strode out the window. She lands on the ground.
He hears
the daughter that downstairs. Was awesome. He turns his head and he turns back around and she's gone.
And she's gone. Like, that's... Yeah, that was so cool.
So it's like, oh, she's coming for you.
I like to think in his mind, he was like, so that's what it feels like.
Yeah. But one thing I did want to ask you, especially you, Joey, and I want to know what you think about this too, Derek, now that you've seen a good bit of the Halloween movies, you know the Michael Myers MO. There was one part of this movie that really did bother me, and it didn't bother me until this last viewing. And this is the fourth time I've seen the movie. And it didn't really hit me until this time watching it. The part where after he kills the doctor, the two cops go over there. He kills the two cops and then goes to Laurie Strode's house. And the husband of her Myers MO to do something like that.
You think he wouldn't take all the time to hollow out the guy's skull?
Yeah, because we've established so far that he's just a killing machine. Like, he's like a shark.
He just kills and moves on.
Yeah, he kills and moves on. He doesn't take the time to do elaborate scare tactics. Like, he just wants to kill you. He doesn't want to scare you. He wants to kill you.
Who was driving the car, too, and how do they park it so perfectly?
Exactly.
The cop right there.
That really bugged me this time watching it. And I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I didn't think of that now, but yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that it's done for shock factor
as a filming technique.
As a filming technique, but at the same time, it just felt really, really out. And that's the only real part of the movie that felt really out of place to me and out of character for Michael Myers. I mean, that's more of a Freddy thing or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Dude, I texted you guys this last night, but speaking of Freddy, when they first show Michael Myers at the hospital in the beginning, whenever the podcaster guy shows him the mask, and you see his face, right? And and he's like an old man. He's got like this scruffy, scruffy, like gray beard now, like stubbly and stuff. Like, to me, from the side and his hair really short like that looked like an old Robert Englund. So I thought it would have been so cool if he just turned around and it was Robert Englund just playing that part. Just in that one scene, because then they put the mask on him later and it doesn't have to be, it could be somebody else. Yeah. I just thought it would be so cool for him to have played like for that movie to come out and now he's played like two of the like world, you know, the most famous horror slasher guys. That would have been so cool.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah. Just for a little homage to Nightmare. I thought it would have been really cool.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Yeah. And one of the most cringiest scenes in the movie is when the lady podcaster, I don't remember her name, but she's in the bathroom and Michael Myers comes in and he reaches over the top of the stall door and drops the teeth.
The teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about teeth, but...
Oh, that's gross.
It really gives me the willies. Anything to do with teeth.
She also didn't know... Well, I don't know how she knew that whose they were or whatever, but... Like, did she just get freaked out because of that in general, or did she know, like, it must have been the dude on the desk whose mouth was all... Like, what, did he tear his throat out or something like that? Because when the other dude went up to him and was trying to get his attention and they showed his face in the desk with his jaw, like, way out here...
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell if he maybe just ripped his freaking jaw out. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was hard to tell what happened, but you could tell it was definitely disfigured.
But did he, I mean, did he take pliers to the teeth, or, you know, that would have taken some time. I mean, yeah. I don't know if you've ever had a tooth pulled, but those things out easy.
Well, it depends on how knocked out you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that in that same bathroom scene, that to me is when I felt like Michael Myers was back, because like the mask is iconic, but to me, so is that navy jumpsuit that he wears. Yeah. So you see it through the bottom of the stall, and you see the boots and the bottom of the pants, and I'm like, oh shit!
See, now he's back. I caught that. I thought that just a little bit before that, when they showed the mechanic dead on the floor in the shop, and he was basically naked, he had an undershirt and boxers on, and I noticed, oh shit, his mechanic uniform is gone. That means Michael took it and he's somewhere around. I mean, the first time I saw it, I didn't expect him to be in the bathroom, like hunting them down. But I didn't know where he would have been, but I thought that as soon as I saw the mechanic.
And we're back from a slight pause. We had Derek had to go shave, and Joey had to go throw on a new hoodie, and I had to change shirts, you know. That's how it is. What really happened is we were in the middle of the show the other night. We were trying to get the show done as fast as possible because Hurricane Catherine Zeta-Jones was barreling down on us here on the Gulf Coast, and couldn't quite make it, man. We got about 40 minutes in and lost power, and here we are, that was Wednesday night. Here we are Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days later. Yeah. On Saturday, actually Halloween night, 3 days later, we're finishing up our conversation about.
We were trying to speed up to avoid a power outage.
Yeah,
the power outage sped us up more than we wanted to.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of sucked. Was out of power for 2 days, and God, hurricanes suck, man. I don't know what it is. The last 8 or 9 years, man. When I was a kid, we used to just get hurricanes in the summer, and once about September hit, that was it. You didn't get them anymore. But ever since Katrina, they get later and later in the year. And it seems like the last couple of years, they've been hitting in October almost every year. And it's kind of kills the Halloween spirit, man. Nothing like a good hurricane to douse your Halloween spirits. Kind of sucked.
The only good hurricane is Shane Helms.
Yeah.
Exactly. I used to have a hurricane mask back in the day. I don't know what happened to it.
Huh.
I want one, but I know him, but I'm like afraid to ask him for one, and I haven't ever seen one like in a store or whatever.
I want to go get me a mask today. I want to go get a Michael Myers mask if I can find one somewhere.
I've always tried to find one, and I never find like one that looks good enough. Like I want one that looks like the Shatner mask in the first one.
Yeah,
I don't want like four with the red hair or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
One. I want like the original, man. It looks so good. I saw some a website. It was like $90, though, so I didn't buy it. But it was that mask, like speckle painted almost with like marks and like grooves and stuff on it.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was beat up. That was really cool, but not for $90.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that they offer. One with like the smooth white that's like stark white, you know, and looks like it's from Halloween 4. I'm like, I don't want that. I want like a kind of a dirty, grungy one. I want two of them, one from Halloween 1 and one from 2018 that looks all cracked and aged, you know. I went looking, went to the Spirit Halloween store. They didn't really have a good one. I went to Party City. All they had was the crap ones. I was like, man, I got to find a good one somewhere.
But would you, all right, so here's a question. If you found a good one from Halloween 2018, looked just like the movie, but it came with a bag of teeth with blood on them, would you not buy it?
Oh, I'd buy it in a second. Right. I would throw the teeth out as I walked out of the store.
Comes with a free bag of gas station teeth.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing, Joey, we talked about it after the show. You had texted me about, I had said you had the Michael Myers tattoo.
Yeah, that's not me.
I think I may have conflated you with another person in my life. There's this drummer friend of mine who plays in metal bands, and you guys are a lot alike, and I think I may be thinking about him. I'm pretty sure it's him that has a Michael Myers tattoo on
his leg. I have the I guess it's not a bumper sticker. I don't know what you call it, but it goes on like glass, like a glass decal.
Yeah.
It's probably 6 inches tall. That's on my old car, which is now my wife's car. And then when I got this car, I got this car in the will after my father passed away. She bought me a giant foot tall one that I still haven't put on, but it's just like one half of the mask. It's really cool looking.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, Rampage says nothing beats the quality of his Dollar Tree dragon costume. I'm sure that thing is quality. No, but to get back into the movie, we were kind of getting...
Can we just talk about tattoos real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you brought that up, and I remember this the other night, and I was already laying in bed when I thought of it, so I didn't text you back. But I've always wanted... So the scene in Scream when he kills the Fonz, and then they show him dead laying on the floor, and he's looking up, his eyes are open, and then Ghostface looks at him, and you just see the reflection of the mask in his eyeball. I used to want that as a tattoo, like the eyeball with the reflection in it, but I wanted the reflection of Ghostface and Michael Myers next to it, so it's like both of them looking down at him.
That's awesome.
I got to find someone that can actually draw that out like the way I like it, but that when you mentioned the tattoo thing the other night, that reminded me of that.
Yeah, you got to have a real good tattoo artist to pull off something like that.
Yeah.
If I was going to get a tattoo, I would want the three masks from Halloween 3, like in a really cool, like,
did you see the tweet I tagged you in today? Guy had a shirt with the pumpkin all over it.
No, I didn't see that one yet. I did see the one that Wally tweeted me, and it said in real big letters, it said Halloween 3 sucks. And I was like, you're wrong. And he was like, look at the, he says, look at the fine print. And, let me look it up real quick. And
so the one that I tagged you in, it wasn't one of my tweets. It was something I responded to, and I said, "Oh, my buddy Jay would love this." And it was the Silver Shamrock. I think it might have had the logo, and it was just an orange shirt covered with the pumpkin mask.
Yeah, it never tagged me in it. I don't see it in my thing.
Mentions? Yeah, I don't know. It just says my buddy Jay would love.
Oh, yeah. I did see this.
it was me. Oh, okay. It was me responding to another tweet, so it wasn't a new tweet that I wrote.
Yeah. Here it is. It says Halloween 3 sucks. It says, and then in really small letters, it says, "You might want to turn this down, Staff Sergeant Sketch." I won't say the word, but it said, it says in tiny print, it says, "If you think," and then really big, "Halloween 3 sucks," and it says down real small at the bottom, "it's because Tom Atkins, your mother."
Even I would wear that.
I would like wear that. I want to wear it to meet Tom Atkins at PensaCon.
Oh, that's great. It.
But yeah, if I was going to get a tattoo, that would be what I would get, is the mask, because, and I love the,
cool, actually.
There's one thing I loved in Halloween 18 was when they did the quick shot of the kids wearing the Halloween 3 masks. I was like, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
Kind of a middle finger to all the Halloween fans that hated Halloween 3.
Yeah. I love that they subtly referenced it.
So we get down to the end of the movie, and I played the clip where, she says it's not a cage, it's a trap. We get to the end of the movie. Michael Myers gets trapped into the basement of Laurie's house, which is, she's basically just, she's tricked this house out to just catch Michael Myers. And so he ends up getting torched at the end of the movie, caught in the basement. Our heroes, they all file out of the house. The house is burning. They flag down someone who's driving by, and the last we see is them in the back of the truck, all huddled together, and the granddaughter is holding on to the kitchen knife, which is kind of a weird little thing at the end of the movie there. And then, of course, you go through the credits, we get a black screen, and you hear heavy breathing through a mask.
Yeah, I thought Darth Vader was going to pop out on the screen.
I did too.
Hey, it's me!
And so what did you guys... Give me your thoughts on the movie as a whole. Like, how did you feel about it? Is it, what kind of rating out of 1 out of 10, what would you rate Halloween 2018?
I'll go first. I personally really like the movie. I know I'm not as knowledgeable about the franchise as you guys are, but I felt like, because initially I wasn't sure about the whole retconning everything that happened after the original, but given the direction they went, I think it was the right decision. And I will say this, I loved Jamie Lee Curtis's performance in this movie. I thought she absolutely knocked it out of the park. I loved what they did. Almost, you know, we talked about this earlier. We recorded the other night, but I love the depth that they went into explaining the reaction and what the victims have to deal with. And they either go in this direction or they go in the other direction. And we saw that Laurie Strode ultimately became stronger because of her encounter with Michael Myers. I loved her being a recluse and just kind of being isolated from everyone. But in the end, you know, she was proven to be right. And I thought she really did a great job of carrying this movie. And I, as a number score, I would say I'd probably give it a solid 7.5 to 8 out of 10. I actually really, really enjoyed the movie.
What'd you think about it, Joey?
I loved it, man. I think this is probably my favorite after the first one. And way above the third one. I think I like it more now that you guys alerted me to the fact that it was basically a sequel to one, as opposed, because I thought, like I said, I thought it was supposed to be like 1, 2 and then this. Mm-hmm. So I like it even better now that it follows one. I wish there was some kind of like explanation on how Loomis died, or how, I know they just said, I took over Michael Myers' case after Loomis died. I wish there was some kind of backstory there other than he just died, because if this is a sequel to the first one, he didn't die in the first one. So what happened between then and now? I get that it's 40 years later or whatever, but I need to know.
You can always mention something in the sequel.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good idea. I liked the little subtle references to other, like you said, the three masks, or the Halloween three masks. I liked where Laurie Strode looks at the doctor, Sartain, and says, "Oh, you're the new Loomis."
Yeah.
Which is what everyone watching it was thinking. Oh, that guy's the new Loomis. And then she says it, like, that's great, man. Like, I love that. But this is definitely, I got to say, my favorite after one, man. So on a 1 to 10, I would probably, other than like, you know, there was a little bit of inconsistencies. It's like stuff didn't make sense. And like Jay mentioned the other night when the cop car pulled up and the dude's head was hollowed out or whatever, like stuff like that kind of didn't make sense. I would love to have an explanation. So I'd probably give it an 8 as well. I still want to know how the car got, who drove the car there and happened to stop it right in front of I forget the dude's name, but to me, that actor looks just like Frank Sinatra. So I always think Frank Sinatra when I see that guy. And then when on Seinfeld, the episode he was on when he was like singing a lot, I'm like, this guy is Sinatra. But so I always think of Frank Sinatra. So
he was the Wiz.
That car. Huh?
on Seinfeld, he was the Wiz.
Yes.
I'm the Wiz.
That was such a funny episode, too. So when the cop car pulls up right in front of Sinatra and there's cop's dead and the other guy's head is hollowed out and sitting in the thing next to him, like, who drove it there? I don't Nobody got out. Like, did somebody drive there and then hop into the back seat really quick so the Wiz didn't see it? It was weird. Like, or did someone just, you know, put his foot on the thing and let it go, ghost ride it, and it just happened to stop right in front of that house?
Who knows?
I need to know what happened.
that part really, that's the only part of the movie that really knocks it down for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and the fact, you know what else I was thinking? I thought of this the other night, and we didn't, I don't remember if we got to it or not, but the granddaughter, Laurie Strode's granddaughter, whose name I forget now, she never once said, "Where's my father?" or "How's dad?" or "Where's dad?" after he got killed.
Yeah.
Just that he was, you know, or the wife, what's her name, was like, don't go, or whatever. He went outside for whatever reason when he got killed. I don't even remember now.
Well, he got killed in the yard. He was laying in the yard, so she would have seen him as she came up.
Right.
Because all the lights were on.
Right. But not once did she say, like, "Oh, my God, my father's been killed," or "Where is he?" or "How is dad?" or "What happened?" Nothing. Like, she doesn't reference him at all. How is that possible?
Just one of those oversights. There's probably
a gigantic oversight. I mean, unless I missed it, but that seems like a big oversight.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean,
it's like if your power went out the other night and me and Derek just never mentioned it. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, hey, what happened to Jay? Like, oh, I guess the power went out. Like, we just didn't say anything. Like, what?
We just keep the show going.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, I did have a backup, and we're just going to release that.
Yeah, like, how do you miss that?
Yeah, that's really the only, that's the part of the movie that really brought it down for me. I'd still give it an 8, the same as you guys. Yeah. It's not perfect, but it is great, and it's the best.
Yeah.
You know, best Halloween movie since the first one. And
agreed.
Because what I like about it, you know, they just, after the horror movies of the last 10, 15, 20 years, especially like in the late 80s and 90s, when everything like the Halloween franchise and the Friday the 13th franchise and all the Nightmare on Elm Street, they just got so convoluted at one point that I love the fact that they took Halloween and they just... brought
Jason
it back
X.
To its yeah. basics. You know, they just brought it back to the basics. It's a very simple story. It's very, there's not a lot of actors to have to take, you know, keep up with. There's not 100 storylines to keep up with. It's just,
right.
Here's this dude, you know, 40 years ago, he killed a bunch of people. One was left alive and he's coming back to kill her. Like that's the whole point of the movie. So I give it an eight out of 10.
Yep.
I like it.
As long as you don't do Michael in space, I'll be thrilled.
Yeah, no shit.
I wouldn't mind seeing Michael Myers Takes Manhattan, though. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I don't want
to see Michael in space unless it's a tag team with Leprechaun. That guy went to space too.
Rampage says the granddaughter may have been affected mentally and pushed it aside. She'll be the next Michael Myers as a result. That would actually be kind of interesting.
That's what my wife said.
That would be an interesting little concept.
That's what my wife said when they showed her at the end holding the knife in the in the pickup truck. And she's like, oh, she's going to have a mental breakdown. She's going to go nuts next time.
Yeah.
Or next movie or whatever. And it reminded me of Danielle, what the hell is her name? With the mask that had the knife in 4 or 5 or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Where like he touched her and then suddenly she was this evil little kid.
Yeah. That was so long ago.
yeah. But that's kind of what it reminded me of.
But speaking of that, what do you think, you know, the trailer for Halloween Kills just dropped. What was it, yesterday? So what do you guys think? I don't know. What'd you guys think about the trailer? Do you have any theories, predictions about the next one coming up, which is going to be released next Halloween.
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't remember the first trailer, but I know it was last year for a release for this year, and then Corona happened, and now it's going to be next year. So I only watched the one that came out yesterday. I don't remember the first one. But, man, I can't wait. It was so... the whole video itself was 46 minutes. Of that, like, 20 seconds... or 46 seconds, I mean.
Yeah.
Of that, like, 20 seconds was the actual trailer, and the rest was just credits and graphics and stuff. but I was like, wow. And it went so fast. Like, it was like 1 second of each scene just scorched into 20 seconds. And it was, like, very hard to follow. But yeah, it looks really good, and I'm just... you know, I'm there for any Halloween movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, everything in the trailer went by so fast. You can't really build upon a story of what you think it's going to be. Did you kind of catch anything, Derek, in there that maybe stood out to you?
Not necessarily. The way I looked at it is that we've got a year to wait for the movie to come out, so there's no need for them to put out a full 2-minute trailer now because you have a year to build for it.
But Jay brought up a good point earlier. At the same time, it's already done. I mean, it was ready to come out now.
Uh-huh.
So give me something. Give me 90 minutes and 90 seconds. Yeah, 90 minutes would be better.
Yeah. But
you know what I did notice, though, right in the beginning of the trailer that came out yesterday, because, again, I don't remember the first one, they show Michael, like, lean down and pick up the mask. So he must have escaped really fast if the mask wasn't burnt up or nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Though they did show a flash of the mask, and it looked a little charred, like up in the corner, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But there was also a good, you know, little scene in the trailer there where they actually have him without the mask on. So I don't know why you hear Laurie Strode screaming Michael or something like that. It shows him like a quick flash of his face, and you can tell it's him. Because he still got the same kind of
hair. Was that yesterday's trailer or the original?
Yeah, it was yesterday's trailer.
Oh, I must have missed that. I got to go back and watch it again.
At least pretty sure that was the trailer I've watched.
You're right.
But
I got to check that out again.
I don't know. I mean, apparently he got out of the basement. We don't know how. Maybe he just found a weak point somewhere in the house.
That's what I was thinking. He just went through. She had some. I wonder if it's going to be revealed that this is the only kind of theory I came up with for the next one. It'll be revealed that she had some kind of like hatch or like escape trap door. So if she was in there when shit went down, she can get out. Even if he can't or whoever can't, there's going to be some kind of door. He just like in my head, I can see him just banging on the walls until he finds something and then realizes, oh crap, there's a door here, and then breaks through it. And there's some kind of tunnel that goes out to the backyard or something. Just so if this ever happens, she can get out if she's trapped down there when it goes down.
Cause that's the thing. Maybe he knew she would do something like that because she was using that as a trap for him.
Yeah.
He knew that she would have some sort of trap door somewhere for her to be able to get out of. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We got a whole damn year to think about it.
Yeah. I'm going to every year I'm like, is this the year I'm going to die? Now I'm like, man, I'm going to drive the safest I've ever driven until next year so I can see this movie.
Rampage said he didn't find Halloween 1 scary at all. He did like the story, though, A for effort. The thing about the original Halloween movie is there was nothing like that before. You know, there was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and most horror movies were things like The Hills Have Eyes, you know, stuff like that, like House on Haunted Hill, like the Last House on the Left, those type of horror movies.
Yeah.
Halloween was really the first one that kind of set the template for the slasher genre. So
yeah, right.
You see all the tropes. It's like if you've seen everything, you know, since then you go back and you watch Halloween and you're like, this is so tropey. It's not scary, but you got to think it was the first of its kind. So you got to look at it through the lens of a person in 1978 who had never seen a real slasher horror flick like that.
When did the original Chainsaw come out?
That was 74.
Oh, holy crap. I thought the original
that old?
Like, yeah.
I thought the original was like 83.
No, that was...
That might have been Chainsaw 3, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
That was in 74, the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out.
Wow.
But it didn't really have any of the tropes of the slasher genre. It was more of a, you know, crazy family. And even though Leatherface was kind of the breakout character of that movie, you know, he was kind of part of a family. He wasn't just, you know, a single dude on a killing spree mission. He was the weird, deformed kid of the family that lived in the basement and chopped people up for food.
Leatherface became a pro wrestler for a while.
Did he?
I don't know who it was, but there was a guy that wore that whole gear, called himself Leatherface. I think he was a Japanese wrestler, or at least he wrestled in Japan. I don't know who it was under the mask.
I wouldn't get in the ring with that dude.
It was a complete ripoff of that character, name and everything.
Nope, I would not get in the ring with that dude at all.
With a chainsaw, I believe.
Wow.
Nope, you got this one, sir.
But yeah, that's going to bring us to the end of the show. That's going to put us over a good hour for the episode as a whole. So I'm going to go ahead and edit it up today and get it out on the feed so you guys can go back and listen to the whole thing without a big 3-day break in the middle of it.
Okay.
What can be better than a Halloween discussion on Halloween?
Exactly. And speaking of that, I'm going to watch Halloween on the big screen tonight.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Nice. That's going to be cool.
So in closing, I really did enjoy the movie. We all enjoyed the movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely go check it out. But definitely watch the original Halloween first if you've never seen any of the Halloween movies. Just go watch the very first one, the 1978 John Carpenter classic Halloween,
and then
watch this one. It's a direct sequel to that one, even though there's a 40-year gap. It explains why there's a 40-year gap there.
Right.
But I love the movie. I can't say much else about it. I saw it twice in the theater. I would definitely go see it in the theater again if they showed it again in the theater. I think they actually are showing it in the theater right now.
This movie, oh god, they should have rerun that this year in some places instead of, because Halloween Kills isn't coming out. But this movie and Scream 1 are the only movies I've seen repeatedly. Like, both of them I saw opening night, both of them I saw the night after opening night, and both of them I saw the following weekend as well. I love Scream 1. Yes. 1 and 4 are, like, my favorites.
Scream so, is great.
Yeah.
Scream 2 soundtrack is the best, though. I love that soundtrack to Scream 2.
It's not bad. Yeah, yeah. I liked 2, but 1 was my favorite, and then 4, then 2, then 3. But yeah, but Halloween 2018 and then Scream 1 are the only movies I've ever seen repeatedly. Hmm. More than twice in the theater.
Rampage said he may watch Monsters Anonymous again tonight. He's not not being a kiss ass. Yeah, that's definitely a Halloween movie. I made that movie specifically to be watched at Halloween. So
is that still on Amazon?
Yes, it's free.
My wife hasn't seen it yet. Okay.
On Amazon Prime. Go check it out. Just type in Monsters Anonymous. It stars Brian O'Halloran. It was directed by Jeremy London, written by me and Mr. Wallace Phelps. And go check it out. It's 22 minutes long. It's on Amazon Prime. The more people that watch it, the better. And if you feel like it, leave a review for it. Because more people that leave reviews for it, the better, the higher it gets in the rankings. And we actually will make some money off that movie. Finally, that'd be nice. But before we get out of here, thank you, Joey, for joining us again. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, I can't wait till we do this again next year for the new one.
But tell everybody,
spoiler filled new one.
Tell everybody where they can find you and where to buy your t-shirts at. Because I went to looking at the t-shirt place the other day for your t-shirts. I'm going to get myself one for Christmas, but I don't know which one I want to get. Nice. So I gotta decide.
There's 10 designs, which is weird, because if I go like to the back end of the website, it shows 11 SKUs, so I can't figure out which one is missing. Anyway, so follow me on all social platforms, Joey Image TV, and t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/Joey Image. That's T-E-E-S. Pro Wrestling T-E-A-S-E is a different kind of site.
I don't even know if I want to watch that one.
I don't know if that exists, but I said that to someone like out loud, and they were like, T-E-E-S or T-E-A? I'm like, no, T's, like t-shirts, not like T's.
What about you, Derek? What's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience this week?
Well, if you watch Monsters Anonymous, you finish listening to this podcast, and you still need more Halloween-filled goodness, Jason and myself, along with our mutual friend Steve Wise, did a really fun roundtable discussion on the Evil Dead franchise that's available now on my feed, which you can check out on all podcasting platforms. And if you want to follow the show on social media, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at D Diamond Podcast.
Fantastic. That was such a fun. That was such a fun episode to do.
I loved it. It was great.
I could talk about the Evil Dead franchise all day. I could just do a whole episode just on Ash versus Evil Dead. Have you seen that, Joey? Ash versus Evil Dead?
No. I heard it was a great series. I didn't see any of it.
Dude, it's so good. It's on Netflix. You can go.
Do you know how
it.
We were talking about it as we were wrapping up the show the other night?
Yeah.
I started watching it.
Oh yeah, you like it?
It's so good.
It's so
fun.
Oh my gosh. It is. Just start watching it. Just go watch it tonight, anybody. This
you won't be able to watch
tonight.
Just one episode.
For Halloween, you're gonna watch Halloween. You're going to watch Monsters Anonymous. You're going to go and watch Ash versus Evil Dead. And Halloween 3. Throw Halloween 3 in there while you're watching it.
Well, now you ruined it.
But it's time to go ahead and get out of here for tonight. Let me pull up my notes here because for some reason I don't have them memorized. After 200 episodes, you would think I'd have them memorized now. Here we... Where's our music at? I don't see it. here we go. Right. Yeah. Sorry for the delay, everybody. All right, here we go. If you would like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We are at nerdcaveretro.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro and individually at jfunktastic, at Derek_diamond, and at joeyimageTV. We're at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. where if you keep us above that $50 level, every month we do the commentary episodes, which this month we did two episodes. We did two in one. We did Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters episode, and we did Pac-Man, the Ghostly Adventures episode, which was kind of sucked, but it was fun. Other than that, if you can't throw us a couple bucks, that's okay. We know times are tough. Leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are sold. And Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
Happy Halloween.
I had you all alone, just the two of us.